We live in an easy come, easy go society, a society where we want it all. And we're often looking for the better path, the better way. Americans have a huge sense of entitlement, that it's our right to have the good life, to live well, even better than others. And I think that often gets transferred to our religious beliefs. We have a sense that God owes it to us to order our lives well. When things go wrong, we get angry at God. We complain, God, why did you allow this? If you really loved me, you wouldn't fill in the blank. But Jesus gives us a very different idea of what it means to follow him. As the crowds follow after Jesus, he recognizes this same sense of entitlement among the people that are in following him. People that want the blessings without the commitment. People that want to be healed. People that want the invitation to the banquet. As when we last looked at Luke, there was an invitation to come to the banquet and for everyone from the far and wide to come and eat of this lavish banquet that was provided for them. We want the good stuff. But Jesus turns to the people and says these words. Find my place here. Oh, there it is. Now large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned and said to them, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brother and sisters, yes, and even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not first sit down and estimate the cost, to see whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it will begin to ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going out to wage war against another king, will not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to oppose the one who comes against him with 20,000. If he cannot, then while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for the terms of peace. So therefore, none of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all your possessions." So basically, Jesus is saying that it will be costly to follow him. It will be your whole life. It will cost you everything. It will consume your focus and your priorities in life. And it will set you up as a failure in the world's eyes. They will look at you and say, "You could have done better by yourself." But hate? Hate your father and your mother, your wife, your children, your brother, your sister. Hate myself and my own life. And to give up all of my possessions. This austere self-denial and poverty. Is that the way of God? Is that what he asks of us? The truth is that Jesus is intentionally exaggerating here to make a point. Following Jesus must be your focus, not all your life encumbrances, not all the things that you have around you. Jesus is asking that we focus, we put our focus on Christ. Jesus is actually pushing our buttons and pushing the buttons of the people around him because he wants us to recognize what it means to follow Christ. That it isn't just the easy life and we sign up and there's no more hassle. And that if you're going to follow Jesus, recognize that Jesus' actions led to death on the cross. They were politically costly actions that he persists in doing time and time again. He doesn't give up. He does those things that he knows are going to get him in trouble. And he persists at doing them. So if you are going to follow Jesus, This path must take priority in your life. To follow Jesus means going to the same place of costliness as Jesus, even to death. If we are focused on saving our own skin, on doing what will keep me safe and okay, we will never be able to follow, take the risks, go where God leads us. Human reaction is to maintain safety and security. And following Jesus means abandoning all that and trusting God. It's the nesty plunge. That's the I'm going to ride the roller coaster. It's I'm going for broke. And I'm going to see where this journey leads. I'm going to trust God. Not going to trust what I already have or my finances or my ability to work hard at a good job. I'm not going to trust the fact that I have things, that I reside in America. I'm not going to trust all of those externals because those can all be gone in a flash. So if we are focused on saving our own skin, we won't be able to follow. And focusing on God means trusting with abandon. But before you can truly follow Jesus, you must count the cost. Not just assume it will all be good. Oh, it'll be fine. It'll be fine. Like the crowds following Jesus that want the blessings without the pain. American Christians often want the good life, and we're angry when things go wrong. In fact, we're angry at God. Often more angry at God than at the circumstances or at those that may have done injustice against us or even our own inability to make better decisions. So count the costs and be aware of what you are doing. Jesus gives two examples, two kind of little mini parables. He says if you're going to build something, you have to figure out what it's going to cost before you start. You don't just jump into it and start building something, get the thing half built and run out of money and say, well, I put in some really fancy stuff in the floor, but now I don't have enough for the walls or the roof or whatever. I kind of forgot to do the budget. Jesus says, you will think it through because you want to build the whole thing. You want to do it well. So to think it through. He says, a king doesn't go to war without calculating if it's winnable. If they think they can actually do that. Now, I'm like, why did you put that example in here, Jesus? Because I never would have picked going to war as an example of something. But there is truth that we humanly assess what the realities are before we take those kinds of risks. There are huge risks, and we assess those realities. So in following Jesus, be aware that there will be a cost to you personally. Christians have misused this message and it's put a guilt trip on many of us. That we're to be good, give up the pleasures in life, and be poor. So it's kind of this austere, you got to rein it all in and be prim and proper, never do anything outside of what's right and suffer in that way and give up all pleasures that we think we might enjoy. No, that isn't what God is saying here, because I really believe that God loves to bless us and to lavish us with good things. And we've all been recipients of those blessings and of those ways in which we felt God's smile upon us. And we've seen the God stories come to delightful and unexpected unfoldings. And the truth is that following Jesus, I think, is the most rewarding and delightful life ever. I can't imagine doing it life any other way than with Jesus. It's an amazing ride. It's an amazing experience. For Jesus, it was costly politically. doing the right thing cost him his life. Because he persisted in breaking the rules and loving the outcast. On being there for others when they were not accepted by society or by the religious people of the day, Jesus welcomed them into his community, into being a part of his life. And by so doing, he infuriated the political and the religious structures of his day, and they killed him for it. It cost him his life. They hung him on a cross because they tried to stamp out this rebellious action that they saw happening in their midst. And so it was costly. But Jesus, when we think about it, Jesus told the rich young ruler to sell all his possessions and give the money to the poor. So we keep coming up with this. Are we really supposed to get rid of all of our possessions and live a life of poverty? But I really think that that was personal to that man, and that we shouldn't globalize it as a Christian rule. But on the other hand, we need to think about what prevents us from coming wholeheartedly to Jesus. What are the things that we kind of, I would, but don't ask me to do that one. What are the things that hold us back from being able to really trust God and go wherever we sense that God is leading us? Those are things that Jesus might say have come between us, and to take them out of that place of priority in our lives. Let them be right size. I think for the rich young ruler, his possessions were outsized. They were of greater importance to him than would allow him to follow Jesus with the kind of trust and abandon that he needed to do in order to be faithful. And if we are serious, we can look at our own lives and invite Jesus to journey with us in that, and recognize that we have places where we hold on to, where we don't want to let go of, we don't want to trust, and they have taken an oversized place in our life. They have kind of grown beyond what is its appropriate right size. And if we can let go of them, that doesn't mean that we have nothing left, but that it begins to take its rightful place in our life, its right size in our life. And so Jesus is saying, put me first. Trust me. Let me walk with you. And to each one of us, he's saying, let me help you see where that thing, and it will be different for every one of us, where that thing is that looms large in your life. Let it go and follow me. Don't let life derail you from your calling. Put Jesus first and your God-given purpose in life first. What is it that God has called you to be about in this world? Who am I? Who am I deep inside, deep within? What yearns to come out and find life that has been held back? How am I uniquely gifted? What is it that I'm to be about? What is it that I'm constantly drawn toward, that I find myself wanting to do, wanting to grab a hold of? What's my passion? What is it that I feel I must do? And then letting go of all excuses, what are my true limitations in life? Now, Jesus doesn't do the thing like, it doesn't matter that you absolutely can't do that, that it's a physical impossibility for you to do that. Then he doesn't ask you to do that. So, but we have to let go of our excuses. There's a long way between that abandon to go wherever God leads us and this is something I literally cannot do, physically cannot do. It's impossible for me to do. And there may be even some of those impossibilities because God is the God of the impossible that God works in our lives and allows us to do. But we need to let go of all of our excuses. And the truth is, we all have them. Too often our sense of limitations is self-expanding to include putting myself first. I'll take care of things. I'll get my life really well ordered. I'll get everything set out the way I want it. Then I'll pursue you. Then I will follow. But I believe there is always way forward for every one of us to follow God fully. None of us are absolutely limited. I firmly believe that as our community as a whole and for us individually, that we have everything we need to take the next step in life in following Jesus. Now, I may not feel like I have everything I need to do that. But the reality is that we do. We have everything we need. And we may not have everything at this point that we need to go clear to the ultimate end of where the next step might take us. But we have everything we need right now to do the next step. Everything. It will cost us everything in the end. But we are enough for this journey. We can do it. We are enough. And right now we can move forward. It may be a little step, but we can move forward. And as we follow and do the one thing that we know that is ours to do, we will be shown the next. How many times do we want the full plan? I want to know where I'm going and I want to know all the twists and the turns on the road so that I can be sure that I'll be all right by the time I get to the end. Jesus says, you got to trust me. You got to trust me. I will lead you. Take one step at a time and I'll show you the next step. One step at a time. Live into the light that you have been given. It is enough for today. It is enough light to show you today's path. So when we listen deep within, as we enter into a time of silence, of waiting in the presence of God, I invite us to listen deep within and to ask afresh. Some of you have already asked this. All of us are already on this journey. But I ask us to listen again afresh. What is my calling? What is it that I'm to be about? What is it that we as a community are to be about? What are you calling us to do today, this week, now? What does it mean to follow Jesus? What will it cost us? What do I have to let go of in order to follow? What do I have to let go of? Not what do you have to let go of. What do I have to let go of? What do we collectively have to let go of to follow Jesus? It will be different for each of us. But God is calling. And we are a people that have, with abandon, said yes. And we want to boldly take the next steps. We need each other. We can't do this alone. And we were never intended to do it alone. That's why we gather together in community. So that we can listen with each other. We can encourage each other. We can help each other. We can walk together when it gets way too scary and you can't do it by yourself. But God will give us everything we need to take those next steps. And God will help us even with the giving up, the letting go of those things that cost us dearly. Let's listen as we wait in the presence of God.